Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead, inside the Business Radio X studios.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jeff Sheehan with Sales Influences Radio. I'm joined today with two special guests, Mr. Kenny Zale of Making Teams Rock and John W. Fitzpatrick of Force Marketing. I think we're going to have a great afternoon of some lively discussion here. Both of these gentlemen I've known for a while now, and I can tell you both are setting the world on fire in different ways, but both actually do a great job of selling themselves, selling their services, and what have you. So without further ado, I'd like to, first of all, turn it over to John. And John, remarkable story, what you've been able to achieve over the last several years.
Thank
Such
you.
A young guy. And
thank you.
I just admire what you've been able to do. You've done an awful great job in selling yourself, selling your company, and have positioned yourself quite admirably both here in Atlanta and Georgia as well as nationally. So if you would please tell us about your journey and how you got to where you are now and a little bit about Force Marketing and some of the things that you're doing in that area and how you continue to sell your services, the products of the company and services of the company as well.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that. And first and foremost, I didn't do any of it myself. And I'm the first one to stand up and say that we've got a great team of talented professionals at the agency that really understand automotive marketing. And that's really who we are. For those that don't know what Force Marketing does, we're a multi-channel, tech-enabled automotive marketing company. We stay in the automotive vertical. I grew up in automotive. That's the business that I know. My father had a 28-year career. He still owns a business that's specific to automotive. He's got a company called CBT News up in the perimeter area. They do a phenomenal job of showcasing all the news that happens in the automotive space. And so together, with his, expertise and obviously all his friends, in the business, that was the best place to start when it was, how do you put together a marketing company? And we really wanted to change how dealers spoke to customers through the way of marketing, how they communicated. So our mission is to evolve the dealer to customer shopping experience through an integrated approach of multi-channel marketing. And that's what we sought out to do, close to 10 years ago now. And as that's ever evolving, the way marketing is, the way consumers behave, the way they shop for vehicles is changing every single day. Our team of professionals, both here in Atlanta and the seven associates that work up in the New York City office, that's what they're focused on. And they do a phenomenal job for our clients.
Well, phenomenal. I mean, if you look at yourself, for the last 6 years, your company has been on the Inc. 5000 list as one of America's fastest growing companies. You yourself are a Gator 100.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll hold that against you or not. Kenny, hopefully chime into that later. You're also on the Atlanta Pacesetter list.
Yep.
Fastest growing companies here.
Yep.
And also one of the company's best and brightest here in Atlanta. So What phenomenal credentials. Kenny, could you introduce yourself? Again, I'm aware of some of your capabilities. It's just phenomenal what you're doing in the way of sales productivity, sales training with regard to using some of the games and that out there for enhancing that process.
I came from a totally different background. My background is music. After college, I became a professional drummer for about 15 years. And then after that, I got into sales, and I was a buyer and sales manager for a retail company for about 4 or 5 years. And I used what I learned in music working with an orchestra and with bands for my sales team. And that's where most of my thinking came from. And I did that for like about 4 or 5 years, and I got into radio, actually. I became a radio disc jockey, and I did that. And I used to do a lot of corporate events where whether it be a holiday party or a grand opening or whatever. And I started working there doing those kind of remote gigs. And I got calls for when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire became real popular. I got calls from corporations saying, could you do something like that at our holiday party or our sales meeting that we're having? And so I got into doing some of those games through that. And that's where I started using the game show for team building and for interactive activities. So I found a niche that very few other people were using, and that was interaction with sales teams for rapport, and I was using it through different kinds of activities, mostly game shows.
Excellent. Again, I've seen you in action, and I know you have a great deal of expertise in that particular area. And I think it's quite worthwhile with regard what you're doing in that area. I think one thing for with regard to both of you, you really have positioned yourselves as thought leaders and as sales leaders within your respective industries. And John, in your particular case, that automotive space is tough.
Yeah, it sure is.
Without question. Yeah. So you've done one heck of a job in selling yourself and creating an enterprise now with, what, over 100 employees? And
Yeah, thereabouts. Yeah, I think 96 is
96.
We haven't gone over that 100 mark yet.
Yeah. Close to it.
Close to it.
I mean, I have been in the media industry for many years in one way or the other, and I know how difficult it is to scale something like that. So you ought to be commended for that. So what do you think some of the key ingredients is? How have you positioned yourself now for being such a thought leader and a speaker in the overall industry, and for someone who's out there in front of these groups, whether it's Nader or some of the other automotive groups?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we're a marketing company, right? So it was very important to us that we marketed ourselves properly. And we really have done that from day one, kind of boasting ourselves as the industry leader in automotive marketing, and then just backed that up in every way that we could with every client that came aboard. All the way through, and 10 years later, you're looked back as the leader, and we're doing a lot of things that make a lot of sense to call us that. So, you know, it's just hard work, you know, but more recently, you know, in the last couple of years, I'd say about 2 years ago, we decided to put together a YouTube channel, and we put together a slew of different, it's called Force Feed TV. So if you go to youtube.com/Force Feed TV, you can check out a list of different videos from 30-second marketing tips. So if you're a car dealer out there and you just want to learn how search engine optimization is something that you need to have as a part of your strategy to drive consumers to your dealership website, then there's a 30-second tip, you know, about that. Or there might be the Wednesday download, which is maybe a 2 or 3 minute download of information about things that dealers could be doing from a marketing perspective. And then a bunch of other different, you know, videos that are how-tos. Our idea was that we were doing all of these great things at the agency, but only our clients really knew about them. And so if we just put it out there on the web and allocated some resources internally to putting together some videos and threw them out there, now we have well over 50,000 views, and it's something that's building every single day. So, and so we were really, really excited about that. And I can't tell you how many times we'll be at a convention or conference and they say, hey, you know, a dealer will say, hey, I own 18 dealerships and I really like all the great marketing tips that you put out there for free. And many times that's a way of getting business for us. So it's just constantly putting out the great things that you're doing, and it'll come back.
So that is really tied in, though, with your overall development as a brand. I mean, as you are selling the company, you're selling the services, but you're doing that quite effectively through content marketing.
Very much so.
And Kenny, in your particular, you know, as a thought leader with regard to sales training using gaming technology, what are some of the things you've been have done in that? Because you're well regarded in that area.
Well, I consider myself a facilitator. So what I'm doing is I'm getting these people together, whether it be a sales team or it might be a marketing team. And what I'm looking to do is to get them to know each other, to sort of collaborate together, have some fun. And this way, when they do get on the phone later on, they'll know who they are, each of them, you know, who each person is, a little bit about themselves. And then they can also take whatever knowledge that they learned about that person and maybe find out that they're into sports, they're into their kids into soccer, whatever it may happen to be, and start getting a relationship going. And that, to me, is one of the biggest things about sales and marketing is that relationship selling.
What time, you know, with regard to relationships, what you've been able to do from a sales perspective in your business, similar to what Kenny has done, John, or what? The relationships, I'm sure, over the last 10 years you've been able to build. And what have you done with regard to cultivating those and nurturing them?
Sure. Communication's key. You got to be communicating with your customers and letting them have a good understanding of what you do for them and the value that you provide. You know, when we first sought out, we were doing TV spots and radio spots and media buying and that kind of thing. And what we really liked about digital marketing and very effective personalized email marketing and even direct marketing is you're able to see a return on investment and showcase a return on investment of every dollar spent. It's very measurable, very trackable. So that really helps with the relationship side of the business when you're able to report back on the dollars that are spent and how effective they were in driving consumers both to sell and service the vehicles. Again, we're only in the automotive space, so that's all we have to stay focused on and can really make sure that we're experts in that area. It helps with the communication and being able to outline a true strategy and what you're doing. And so that's been a key component in the relationship building that we've had, is being proactive with that communication and making sure that they're understanding exactly what we're doing for them.
Right. And Kenny, I think you have some relationships with some of America's largest companies and the individuals there. You certainly, last week, you alluded to a gig that you had done with one of the major Fortune 50 companies. Yeah. And maybe you could elaborate further, like John has, with regard to your relationship, some of the things you've done and continue to foster these and continue to work with some of these companies.
Well, I do the game shows in a lot of different ways. For instance, one of the game shows I did recently, it was an all-day training program. And what happened was, at the end of the day, they wanted to do a game show. We did a Family Feud type of game show. All the questions were based on what they had learned that day. And in the back of the room were all the instructors. And they were taking notes as to what they had learned, what they hadn't learned. And this way they could go back and say, hey, we need to reinforce this part because they didn't get that. And it could be things about, what are the top five items about such and such a product that they're selling. And they maybe only get three of them. They didn't get four and five. So they would be able to take these notes and go back and use them again. So I've used my game shows for things like that. And besides the idea of just the interaction and getting to know each other from, like, say, different departments working together. So I've done that. The challenge that I have is that I'm pretty much considered a soft skill. So we're talking about more about relationships, and that is a tougher sell than something like what John just mentioned about, learning some techniques about how to sell something. So that's where my challenges come in, is to be able to sell that. Now, luckily, and I'd say the last 10, 15 years, social science and gaming have become real hot. People are starting to realize that you can use that and learn and get some benefit, some pluses to those kind of activities. So that's where that kind of activity has helped me and been able to start picking up some more and more work that way.
Oh, okay. Great. Now, one of the things, John, over the last 10 years, it's not all been fun and gravy.
No, of course not.
Fun times, I should say. You've had some challenges.
Absolutely.
What are some of the things that you've had with regard to challenges, and how did you overcome them, particularly in the sales arena and the marketing arena, with marketing your business and selling your business? Because you get out there, you speak in front of major groups like Nader and what have you.
Yeah.
What are some of the challenges you've encountered?
Well, in that 10 years, we saw the country's worst recession. And so that was a great learning experience. We weren't big enough to fail, so to speak. We were nimble enough at the time where we were able to change courses and really get lean and mean, do the things that all small businesses in this country were doing with regard to sitting down the group of associates, the team members you have, and say, hey, we need to kind of realign and get through this thing. We didn't lay off a single person, so we were really excited about that and happy that we were able to come together as a family and get through it. On the customer side, the dealers that we work with, it was more important for them than ever to look at every single marketing dollar that they have as maybe the only marketing dollar that they have. So it kind of pushed through our overall philosophy of having measurable, trackable mediums in which you communicate with your customers and drive business into the showroom. And we've got just such a keen understanding of the automotive business. That was the other thing that really drew more customers to us, was we can't waste our time with just a generic ad agency that's going to help us allocate budget and put creative, campaigns together. We need people that really understand automotive and how consumers are shopping for cars and trucks and SUVs. And so that really drove a huge portion of our business, was the fact that we were the so-called experts in the space and that we were so hyper-targeted on, again, that ROI component of sales and marketing. So for us, yes, it was a great learning experience and the tough times, but it also really set our foundation and strengthened our foundation to then grow from. So it was good at the same time.
I mean, you position yourself quite admirably in that whole sector.
Thank you.
Have dominant market share, I would think, within
regard to the big market share in those times.
Digital space, Now, I was going to say, Kenny, what have you seen with regard to some of the challenges that you've observed over the last 10 years or so?
Like John mentioned, that slowdown really hurt a lot of industries. it hurt my industry, again, because I'm more of a soft skill.
Right.
And what they started to find out was that the teams were scared. These people in the sales departments think that they're going to lose their job. The sales weren't coming in. And so I was brought in sometimes just to bring up the spirits and get people to enjoy themselves again and sort of high-five themselves, have a good time, and sort of for a little while forget about what the miseries were out there. And that was what kept me going through those years, because things definitely got much leaner. People were more worried about where they're going to spend their money. And, of course, when you're spending money on something that's a soft skill, you've got to really be able to promote that all the way up to the C-level to be able to get those dollars to do things like that. But it did happen, and we got through it, and things have definitely turned around since then.
Well, that's good. Now, John, I was going to ask you, you have both a marketing, certainly a huge marketing department, but you also have salespeople that are out there selling the services.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what role are they playing? And what, how have they been key for success for you, particularly now where you have scaled to a certain level and you need to take it to the next level? And what role are they playing in that regard?
A huge role. You know, sales is a huge component of any business. It certainly is in ours. Any car dealer out there is not an easy sell. They've got tremendous amount of vendors, especially in the marketing space, but vendors in general that are reaching out to them to help them scale their business, and we're one of those. So it's important that we find, motivate, train really good people to bring our business to the next level that can push through our philosophies, that can get in front of the dealers that we know we can make an impact on, and then continue to, you know, climb the scale. And in the automotive space, it's tiered out. So tier one would be your national exposure, maybe a national campaign for Ford. Tier two would be a regional campaign, for example, your Atlanta area Ford dealers. And then tier three would be ABC Ford, where you actually go buy your car. Foundation of our business was on tier three, and we've done a significant amount in the tier two space, those regional spaces as well. So the salespeople that we're looking for, and by the way, we are hiring, would be folks that understand automotive marketing and can help us drum up business in all three of those tiers, and push through all of the general philosophies that we have as a company and an organization and a great culture and teamwork philosophy. We win them and lose them as a team. We say that every single day. And so those are the folks, but they're definitely driving the business. When you want to hit a big number, you're going to those guys first, and then you're going to your support staff second to say, hey, they're going to bring in the business. We got to make sure we keep it. And we support everything that they're doing. And that's why we've set up a 3-to-1 support to sales ratio.
And so you're looking for essentially individuals that can handle multiple dealers.
Yep. Yep.
Large dealerships, I should say, with multiple units.
That's right. That's right. Yep. We've got guys that are focused on generating dealer groups. So a dealer that might have 5 to 20 stores would be a focus of a certain side of our business development team. And then we've got guys that are speaking with agencies to power some of the agencies out there that don't have the resources in digital marketing and email marketing, which is some of our focus. And then business development associates that can go after the guys up in Detroit, the big executives, the more longer-term sales cycle type closes that you also need as a part of your business model. So
what are you doing for onboarding these people and training them? And what has worked and what hasn't, John, with regard to some of these people you've in the sales arena?
Yeah. Well, first of all, we've done a really good job of, I have to say, I've got to give credit where credit's due. We hired 24 people last year. 22 of them were through LinkedIn. Didn't use a recruiter, did not use any headhunters. LinkedIn's been a phenomenal tool for us to grow business from a hiring standpoint. In terms of training, we've got a very diligent training process we'll put them through. We've got two key associates, Eric Mercado and John Franco, both vice presidents, been with us well over 7-8 years. So they understand our business, they understand where we're headed. And they're focused on growing the guys and girls that come in to join the sales team. But then continuing, like Kenny said, to motivate them and keep them excited about coming into work every day and growing, getting from one, level to the next. That's an interesting component too.
And one thing I'm aware of, every year, and Kenny certainly does, he's involved in this area as well, you have a kickoff meeting.
That's right.
And you bring in your sales and the various personnel from throughout the company. You talk about the annual goals and what have you.
That's right.
And I know Kenny does a lot of facilitating in this particular area. What have you seen with regard to these kickoff meetings, with regard concerning salespeople, the effectiveness, and what translates further in the year with regard to revenue growth or what have you, if you look back in retrospect as to that meeting itself? Any nuggets there, Kenny or John?
Well, on those kickoffs, generally speaking, they've got some major goals that they're trying to do. And what I'm usually involved in is coming up with questions that deal with those goals and see if they're going to be able to come up with the correct answers as to how they're going to go about doing it. And so I may have an activity where they're going to work as a, say, a team of four or five together. And I've got one activity that I actually created because I was getting corporations saying, hey, we've only got six people in our C-level or whatever that's going to be doing a retreat. We want to do some kind of activity for them. So I've got a game that I've actually designed where we can then use, let's say, their customers or their client, their prospects coming up, and using those as to so make the game more realistic for them. And then the activities that happen during that game are dealing with things that they're going to come up with. And it could be stuff like there's a problem somewhere in the pipeline and some suppliers are not going to make it in time. And their CEO is stuck in Washington, D.C. in a blizzard and can't make it to this important meeting. And we use those activities for them to all, again, bond together, come up with what is the best way that we can solve this problem or get through this to see if they can actually, at the end of this, win the game. And that game is called Competitive Advantage, because what ends up happening is they find out that working as a team is their competitive advantage over all these obstacles that happen. So that works. That one works out real well for a beginning of the year kind of activity. And what I have done is because it's an activity that you can work with, say, four or five people together, I've had times where there's been like over 70 people and each were doing that same game. So that even though we're talking about a larger number of people, I had 17 different games going on at the same time. And each one's going to be different. And so what happens at the end of that game, we can all discuss, okay, how did you handle this and how did you handle that? And they start working on, hey, that's a great idea. We didn't even think of that. So they can start learning some other ways of going about handling issues and problems that maybe they didn't think of, but this other team did. So that turned out to be a full-day event, and they came up with a whole bunch of new ideas for the rest of that year to make those goals.
Interesting. John, I know at the beginning of at least the last couple of years, you've been doing things with regard to motivation and the salespeople and the employees and that. Maybe you could talk to our listeners about what you're doing in that regard and how it ties into sales and for setting the pace and that for the trends for the
sure. Well, what's been effective for me in leading an organization is transparent communication. Here, you want to, at least it's been effective for us, not just get your sales team together and identify a goal and a path to get there, but everybody in the organization, because the sales guy is not doing it themselves. I say guy, but we've got female sales associates too. They're not doing it all themselves. They need the support of every single person in that organization to facilitate every deal that they close. And so for us, the kickoff meetings have been instrumental to outline, well, first to talk about the year prior, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's talk about it together as a family and figure out areas of opportunity that we can really build upon in the coming year. And then share with them exactly where we're headed, both financially, but from in terms of the amount of rooftops, mm-hmm. we call them, that we want to build. And maybe large clients like a Ford or a GM that we want to go after and do more business with in different ways. And the roadmap to get there. And then what we've also found is that that doesn't do it either. You need even more communication. So we have monthly team meetings that analyze more on a monthly basis, year over year. So for example, we'll meet next week to talk about how we did in July and then the focus on August. And then a semi-annual meeting that kind of recaps what you talked about in January. We have that typically in July, although this year we had a bunch of vacation time. So we're having that on Monday. So on Monday, we'll get the team together for a 7:30 a.m. breakfast. We'll talk about all the things that we talked about in January. But then, hey, now it's been 7 months since we last spoke about it. Here's where we are. And then here's how we need to finish the next 5 months so that we finish on target. And that communication often, early and often, has been instrumental with our rapid growth.
So these physical meetings where you bring the people in
yep.
from all over the country, John?
Yep, absolutely.
You do? Okay.
It's mandatory that every single associate's there. And a lot of times we'll do it early in the morning when they're fresh and everyone's wide awake. We'll serve breakfast. And then the other thing that we'll do is bring in a motivational speaker when we can.
Right.
To give a third-party perspective on what we're doing. And a lot of times they can help us think outside the box. A lot of times they'll bring different techniques or games that, many of which Kenny was kind of referencing, where they can really bring the team together and say, okay, that's great that you're doing your day-to-day activities and this is what the company's focused on, but let's think outside the box and let's utilize all of our skills in the best way that we can. And they've been very effective for that.
Yeah, I know those early morning ones. I'm a musician, so I'm used to working until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And they're saying, well, we're going to start at 7 in the morning. We want you to do a game show and wake them up at 7 in the morning. It's like, okay. That's when I have to use my alarm clock.
Yeah.
But exactly. We do that kind of stuff too, where it's early in the morning kind of activities just to get them going. Then we're done for the day, and then they're going into their whatever their meetings are and
sure.
things like that.
But it has been effective.
Oh, yeah. It wakes them up. That's
yeah.
for sure. And salespeople, how they are. I mean, they're high-fiving. They want to win. And it just perks them all up. The teams really get together and say, we're going to beat this team and that team. And it's a fun kind of competition that's going on because of that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now, one of the things, John, you alluded to the fact that you're working with some multi-dealer groups, a multi-location, I should say, dealer groups. And so they're serviced by what I would consider is a national account manager or key account manager.
Yep.
They're calling now a concept called account-based selling. And to me, I've been in this business for many, many years, and we had national account managers, global account managers, and what have you. So I don't consider it as a new concept. It's just being repackaged, and maybe they're using content marketing more effectively with regard to that. Now, to support some of these salespeople with these accounts, how are you doing that? What's been effective with regard to some of the things you're doing?
You're referring to our salespeople?
As far as your salespeople, right.
Again, training, motivation, those are key components. Making sure they have all the resources and they have the knowledge and understanding that there's a team behind them supporting all of their efforts. And then, the reverse of that. We want to make sure that, at least in our business, our culture, yes, you want to give credit where credit's due. When it took, 100 phone calls and another 200 emails to land that client, obviously the salesperson deserves a lot of credit. But it's a team effort, and I can't express that enough. There's nothing that frustrates me more than when a sales guy gets on top of the table and talks about how he's the one running the show. He or she are running the show because it's just not the case. Let's take away the other 10 people behind you and see how much business you do then. And so there's got to be an understanding both ways that, we're all in this thing together. We're growing the business together, and we need each other because we're not going to hit the milestones that we have hit and that we want to hit unless we're all focused together. We're all, drinking the Kool-Aid, so to speak, and facilitating that. And the reason I point that out is because when you've got a guy outside the office that traveled to, where was I yesterday? Raleigh, North Carolina, to talk to a dealership group that owns 17 stores. And you're there and you're speaking with the decision maker and you've got a phone home to find that next answer that's going to help you close the deal. You want to make sure that person jumps all over the phone and is just as eager to earn and land that business as you are when you're sitting there in front of the guy. And that starts from the beginning, right? It starts in all those huddle meetings. It starts in all of those kickoff meetings. It's all the way through. And then constantly reminding everyone throughout the process that we're in this thing together, guys. At least that's worked for us.
So have you had to call some people on the carpet when their egos have gotten in the way?
Or? Oh, of course. Yeah, I think I have to do one when I get back to the office. But
sorry to hear that.
Uh-oh.
Well, hopefully they're not listening in on this, okay?
I hope they are.
Oh, okay, really. No, Kenny, what have you... I mean, again, the conflict between sales and marketing.
You said that account-based marketing, and like you said, it's just something that's been around for a long time, and it has... I'm in a small group. I've got my business partner, Andrew Bird, and myself that do this. And so we're only two of us. And so what we do is we end up partnering with the planners. We know a lot of planners here in the, we're in the Atlanta area. So we know a lot of planners here in the Atlanta area. Plus the corporate companies have their own planners. And we try to partner up with them. We try to let them know exactly what we do, what we can offer to them. And then a lot of times they'll just call us back and say, this is exactly what we're looking for this time. You know, maybe 2 years ago I talked to them, and now they're like, yes, this is exactly what we're looking for. Let's see what we can do.
But I would think with your game technology, what you're doing in that regard, John alluded to building the teamwork and making sure that people are aware that you will not be successful unless everyone else is successful. And if you say anything negative about them, it's hurting your overall performance. I think that brings what you're doing brings that out in people.
I think more and more companies are finding that out, that it is the idea of working together as a team, and that's where their strength is at, is as a team. Just like John said, you got to, if you call somebody on the phone, if they're there and they're going to work as hard as they can to make sure you look good, that's what kind of things are going to work for your companies and make more money. So the companies are finding that out, and they're talking to their meeting planners and saying, hey, we're looking for something like that. And we have to just be in a unique niche right now that not too many other companies are doing something like what we do. And the game show is just one facet of that, but probably the easiest to sell and the most easy to understand is doing game shows.
Well, it really brings out the personalities in the individuals as well. So,
oh, yeah.
Someone like John and his organization, for instance, if he had a game similar to that, he could make a determination as to how these people are going to work from a team perspective and then adjust those personalities accordingly.
I can remember when I was a sales manager and one of the suppliers would take us out for golf, for instance, you know, four of us out playing golf, and all the personalities would totally change, you know, at the golf course versus when you see them in their suits in, you know, working in the office. And that's basically what we're trying to do. We're trying to get them to be who they really are and, you know, get the, so that they don't have the cuffs on, that they have to act a certain way and talk a certain way, but really find out who they really are. Because if you can talk to them in that way, you're going to get a lot more accomplished. Mm. And that's really what they're trying to, be themselves.
Which leads me to another point with regard to this whole teamwork concept in the compensation or the measurement of salespeople. When you have that type of environment, John, how do you measure the salespeople given this team environment that you insist upon because of the fact that, you know, you want them to be successful, but you want all, the whole entire organization to be successful? How do you do it? And with keeping them in check and making sure everyone else is happy? It's not an easy task.
No, it's not an easy task. But you still have to have an objective. Well, we actually have an objective and a goal for every single salesperson. We've got about 20 salespeople. So, you know, the goal that we're trying to hit, the year, the quarter, the month, it's broken out by individual. We even break it out according to client base in terms of the clients that we see best fit to hit that particular revenue number, top line revenue dollar. But, you know, driving home, you know, tracking as a key component, you know, where are you tracking against objective, percent of objective that you've hit? Make sure there's rewards for goals. Goals are typically somewhere in the 15 to 25% above objective category. So we want to make sure we reward. And more importantly than rewarding, you know, we've got our average age at the agency is probably around 30, if I had to guess.
Right.
It's not the financial reward is not the key component, believe it or not. It's the recognition among their peers. It's the recognition inside and out when you're talking about the great guys that are truly getting it done. It's crazy how it's more important to them to some degree. Obviously, the financial component has to be there. It has to be fair. We get that, right? But what seems to be as a more of a driving factor is the recognition behind that. And it starts internal because they're looking at their peers and they want to be looked at by their peers as the guy or the girl getting it done. And then the financial, that should just fall into play. So we want to make sure that we drive a good recognition policy as well.
Yeah, so I mean, it's as a matter of fact, I have a talk tonight, a millennial mindset. So I think this really ties into that quite nicely.
I'd love to join that anytime you talk about
millennials. Yes. With regard to it, you know, because of the fact that they recognize they're not so much financially oriented as they are.
That reminds me of the, just a couple of days ago, I saw that movie Moneyball. And it basically is talking about the same thing where it's not the money. At the end, the guy could have been the highest paid GM in baseball, and he turned it down because that wasn't where he was at. Money was not the number one issue. Yes, he wanted to live well, but that wasn't his number one issue. You were mentioning about how to get the teams all focused together. When I was a sales manager, again, with my background in music, I used to use the idea that we're all playing the same song. Just like, you know, the band's playing the same song, even though we've got, you know, a bass player and we have a drummer and we've got a keyboard player and this and that, we're all got to be playing the same song in the same key at the same time. And that's where I would focus, trying to get these people to work together. Again, they all have their own instruments. They all know what they're doing. They're all excellent. But we've all got to be working on that one song. Otherwise, we're not going to sound good as a organization.
Kenny just came up with another quote for me, okay?
Uh-oh.
Just what I needed, okay? I'll add it to
another tweet.
Another tweet coming, okay? With that. I'll have to call you later to find out exact wording on that, okay? So the other thing is, again, teamwork is critical. And with regard to that, though, John, some of these challenges you've overcome in getting those people to work together. How have you been able to resolve those conflicts with, you know, these salespeople come in from out of town and they're with their six shooters, or they think they have six shooters on, and, you know, they think they're, heroes, or they're up on pedestals. What, how do you cut through the chase and take those egos and reshape them into so that they're part of the overall force marketing team and not just the superstar out there selling your services?
Right. Well, Kenny went down the baseball analogy. So if you think about it like a baseball team, you can have a slugger that hits two home runs, but they lost the game. And oftentimes you'll have the reporter ask him how he feels, and he's not fulfilled. The team didn't hit their goal. We lost the game at the end of the day. And so we've got things in place for our sales team that motivate towards a goal. What did we win at the end together if and when we accomplished that goal that we sought out for? So that helps to keep everybody along the same path, at least from a sales perspective. But, you know, I can't reiterate enough the constant communication. Every part of our training, when we're motivating, when we're speaking to the group, it's all about how we're doing it together. And it's not just at those kickoffs or semi-annual meetings. So when it becomes just a part of your day, and a part of your overall philosophy and how you reward individuals, it's very effective. I'll plug another company here, company called You Earned It. Good friend of mine, Kenny Tomlin, started Rockfish Interactive, and a side company of his is You Earned It, youearnedit.com. We utilize that. They do a phenomenal job. What You Earned It does is it allows the company to give points to every single individual on a quarterly basis in the company. And those points are to be handed out when things are done well throughout the company. So for example, Amy's sitting here next to me, Amy, who's in charge of our media and communications of the company. If she does a phenomenal job, I might go back to my desk and award her 1,000 points for today to say, hey, great job setting up that interview at Business Radio X. That was a really great part of our, getting our message out there. And here's 1,000 points. Now, that's not just from management down. She could reward them back to me and say, hey, here's 250 points. She probably won't give me 1,000. Here's 250 points, John, for hitting all the key points that we wanted to illustrate during that interview. And it happens throughout the whole process, and it's done on a board, much like a Twitter feed. So I can go on. When I log in, I can see who's awarding points to who. They leave the points out of it. And then at any time, you can transfer those points into a $500 gift card or a TV or this or that. And You Earned It facilitates that. They're the technology that we utilize for that. So we put that into play about 2 years ago, and it's just crazy. You'll hear at the water cooler talk like, hey, man, if you can knock that thing out for me today instead of tomorrow, I'll give you 500 points for it. You know, it's just great. It's a great motivating tool and allows the individuals to share that. So that kind of adds to our teamwork. But
now, how did you find out about this? Did they approach you?
They didn't. He needs help on the sales side.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
Sales trainers call him. He's building out a sales team now. But it was through networking and talking about how, you know, kind of like this. And then, you know, you talk about, oh, really, you're utilizing that tool? I need to look into that tool. And it came by way of that. But I think they're building out a sales team now because they've recognized that they've got something pretty powerful and a lot of businesses want to utilize. And they've been growing leaps over bounds.
So you really love it?
We love it. Absolutely.
It's measurable results.
Measurable results. But it allows individuals to bonus one another, you know, with the company's money. It's a pretty cool idea. And again, it's not the 250 points that represents, you know, 25 cents at the end of the day or, you know, $2.50. I forget how the metrics work out. It's the recognition that everybody can go on to that mainframe and see that Amy awarded me points or I awarded Amy points.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just looking at it. It looks very, very interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Now, the thing is, though, has it been skewed to any one particular individual within the company? Or is it based on a popularity contest or actually with people?
It's really not. No, it's that. That's one thing you obviously want to take a look at. It's across the board, and then you want to make sure that friends aren't, you know, gifting points to one another. We've monitored that. They'll help us monitor that. They've got a support staff. We've never had it. It's been purely what it was designed to do, at least for us in our business. It has accomplished that and more.
Well, I think it ties back into what Kenny offers in the gaming concept, because this is more, it's like a game.
Yeah.
And particularly with your organization being average age of 30, millennials,
yeah.
They love gaming. Yeah. They love interaction because they're brought up on games.
Sure.
So this makes sense with regard to what you're doing.
It's a sweet spot for us, this idea of the gaming and the teams working together so that they can win. We may have people who are very smart in a certain thing or very good at, say, a physical activity that we're using, but they're going to have to all work together to be able to win the game. And that's when they start helping each other out, because they realize the goal is to win the whole game. Right. Not just for me to look good.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, John, besides that, what other tools have you employed that you found to be very effective? I mean, one of the things that salespeople hate is they hate to be measured. Mm-hmm. And they hate to report. So what do you do from a reporting mechanism? And then what do you do from a analytical basis with regard to measure? You rely on spreadsheets? You rely on Salesforce? So what kind of tools do you use?
Okay, so Salesforce is the CRM that we utilize. We've connected it to a proprietary technology that we've built out that's a workflow system. It's called ForceTel. It stands for ForceTelligence. We've shortened that to ForceTel. It's actually the same technology that drives our business and enables us to be a very much tech-enabled, data-driven company for our strategies for our clients. So that's the same technology that we use, and it's a function. It helps us drive sales. It helps us look at key components, key metrics that are going to help us further drive sales, retention, workflow management. It's all of those things combined into one. So it's been instrumental for us. Now, that's obviously a proprietary technology to Force that we've spent a lot of money and resources and time building out specific to the way we work. But Salesforce has been great too. The Salesforce open API that they have, we were able to dial that in so that ForceTel and Salesforce could speak to each other. So between those two, those are the technologies that are driving.
Are you getting a lot of cooperation out of the salespeople that with regard to providing a lot of information? Do you require a lot of information to be inputted into these systems?
Yeah, you have to have, you've probably seen float around the web. If it's not in Salesforce, it didn't happen. If you don't have that mentality, you're not going to get out of, like, to your point, you're not going to get them to put the data in there the way you want it and as consistently as you want it. And man, how important is data to our business nowadays, right? It's driving every function of it. And so to us, if it's not in Salesforce, it didn't happen. And there's those cases where the guy doesn't get paid his commission because it wasn't in Salesforce.
Ruthless.
It happens once. What's going to happen next time? Make sure that data is in Salesforce. Exactly. There has to be some rules and regulations, and you hate to be that way at times, but they'll force you to.
So, what, for instance, with regard to some of these tools that we're using, what again? You have a data-driven organization. You rely on that data for making all kinds of decisions with regard to your market share, what you're going after with regard to new accounts, and everything else.
Sure. So you mean from our, how we work with our dealers?
No. How you work with some of these tools, like Salesforce and the CRM and that, utilizing these tools for the betterment of the organization, for the growth of the organization?
Yeah, they help us scale tremendously. There's no doubt about it. And making sure that management is logged in and utilizing it as a tool. If management is not logged into Salesforce as often as you want, Joey that just started last week, then you've got misaligned focus here, misaligned strategies. You got to make sure that the management has just as much buy-in, that it's important than ever. So they literally then need to manage through Salesforce in a way. So that's how we really make sure that everyone's utilizing the technology to that point. If I'm understanding your question correctly, that's a key component in making sure that you've got buy-in from the very top and that we're using it just as much as we're asking our team members to use it.
Now, Kenny, have you seen from your experience with regard to some of these workshops that you've given, what kind of, have you seen a lot of reluctance in salespeople to utilize some of these tools, like John had alluded to, and taking away the commission check? I think that certainly, I hope not too many salespeople hear about
Well, you got to have a lot of strikes against you before
you
do that.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're right. That's pretty cutthroat. Yeah, but yay, we've had to do it at times.
Right.
Most of the time, we don't have a problem with that because, again, we're doing something that's going to, they know is going to be fun, or they understand it right off the bat. If we're doing a Jeopardy type of a game show, or we're doing a Family Feud kind of a game show, or, you know, that kind of thing, they already know what it is. They're up for it. They're ready to play, and they know that I'm going to beat so-and-so. So usually we don't have a problem with that. What we do have a problem with at times is if we're brought in a situation that we're just not really right for. And one comes to mind several years back where they were going through training all day long, and they came out of training, and they were all seated at these tables, and we were supposed to do a type of a game show for them, and they were exhausted. And all they did is they went to the bar, got drinks, brought them to the table, got something to eat, and they were not going to think. And the problem was this was a thinking kind of an activity, and it just did not go over well. And it was because we didn't know exactly what was going to be happening when they came out. We didn't know that they were in class for 8 hours straight.
Right.
And that's when there was an issue. So we have to make sure that when we're coming in, we know exactly where they're coming from, so that we're going to be a good fit for that. And we could have, if we would have known the situation, we could have come up with something that would have been much more fun and much more relaxing versus something that was much more tedious, which they just were not in the mood for.
Yeah. So, it's again, first, I think early in the morning, you don't want to be shoving Salesforce down their throats, right? Yeah, and regardless of what you're doing. But the other thing I was going to ask you, both of you, you know, John, your business, certainly the growth has been phenomenal, but what role has social media played in your sales and marketing efforts? I mean, it's your business, but more importantly, from a sales perspective, you alluded to the fact that the hires that you made recently are as a result of LinkedIn.
Yeah.
The 22 out of the 24, I believe it was, were through LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So you're using social media in a huge way, and you're actually, I mean, you're selling the social media services to client base. Mm-hmm. But what role has that played in your overall sales?
In our overall sales?
You talked about YouTube, the YouTube channel. It's a huge...
The YouTube channel is huge. It's so easy to... We can make a video right now. We can... All of us have the capabilities to take our phone out and start videoing, right? So it doesn't even have to be high production quality, you know, video that you're putting out there. The more important is the content. What are you trying to get out there? And with consumer behavior and where video is headed, look at any of the stats. It's alarming. To some degree, you start adding up the stats. You're like, how could, you know, these almost be true to some degree? Because the hours of video, you know, go well above the amount of people, you know, in the country, unless they're watching it all day, every day. But the point is that they're consuming a large quantity of online video. So that's been a huge component to us. We put out there the great culture that we have. We showcase it in a video. We'll put it out there. We put out who we're looking for on our LinkedIn page, on our homepage, on our YouTube channel. Everything that we're doing is out there. There's no doubt about it. But really, we wanted to make sure that we were conducting the same strategy towards business that we're asking our dealers to do.
Correct.
Because we want them to be consumer advocates in their communities and communicate with their customers in their communities through social media. And we, you know, those are our services. We'll do that on their behalf in a very effective manner. So we wanted to make sure we were doing it as well.
That's so, really so you're actually the cobbler knows how to fix shoes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's exactly right.
Yes. And I think it's from a sales perspective, it's really it's teed up your whole business. So when they go into a dealership, the dealers are probably aware of what you guys have to offer, and there are no surprises, and they're probably very, very impressed with the offering. So the sales guy, essentially, what they're acting as is a closer in for most cases.
Well, a lot of times our closing emails provide a link to a couple different videos. You know, you talked about service marketing, Mr. Dealer, as being one of the key components you're looking to drive your business in 2015, or at least towards the end of it. And we talked about a couple of different campaigns that are going to work to drive service business into your dealership. Take a look at this link right here, where someone internally that's an expert in service marketing put together, you know, three key points and things that you should be thinking about. And it's right in there with the closing or one of the key emails that they're sending out after a conversation that they might have had. Then the dealer goes on, watches it, and there you go. You're putting in front of them the key components that drive your business and, of course, then drive theirs.
Right. Just phenomenal. I mean, Kenny, a little bit different scenario with you being a smaller enterprise with regard to the use of social media. I know you use certain tools in that, but a lot of your business is through word of mouth, and I think you do an admirable job in that area. And I think John would agree to this. Even though we're in the social media era, word of mouth and referrals play such a critical role.
We do a lot of networking with associations that have meeting planners. And so a lot of our work comes that way through phone calls, emails from planners that just saying, hey, we're looking for something. Can you fit this? This is our situation. Would you fit for us? So we don't do that much on the social media side. Whatever that happens is usually through the planners who we partner with. So they might be using it much more than we are. We're like the final stage after they've done all that other work.
Yeah. No, I think like in John's case, if you've done your homework, you have the excellent platforms and everything else. You're all over social media. But at the end of the day, I still think a lot of your business is probably derived because of referrals from one dealer network to another dealer network and what have you to support your business.
Absolutely. Word of mouth is a huge component of our business, but it's not just word of mouth or the networking event. For example, Kenny and I just met today.
Right.
The first thing I'll do, likely even before I get to my car, is hit him up on LinkedIn.
Right. Correct.
I'm gonna say, Kenny, LinkedIn. Hey, how you doing? Great meeting you. If you ever want to talk about anything, shoot me a message through LinkedIn.
Right. Correct.
Right. Probably follow him on Facebook and Twitter if he's got one. Obviously, we're already linked up through Twitter. We talk all the time through Twitter.
Yes.
In fact,
absolutely.
I think it's the only way we talk. So, you know, it's what did you do after the networking event?
Right. Correct.
Because those are important and they're key drivers, but you got to follow up and you got to make sure you're connected to those individuals that you just met.
Oh, without question. So the thing is, I'm wondering, what do both of you feel, what is the future in the sales world or the marketing world? It's become so complex. And do you look for an acceleration of the complexity or what do you think, John?
I think technology has made it easier. I mean, like I just kind of illustrated how easy it's going to be for me to follow up with Kenny. I don't even need his business card. I don't need to know much about him, you know, from the initial conversation. And yet I'll probably be able to schedule another meeting with him if I wanted to easily through the social networking tools that we have available to us. So as more and more of the population adopts all of these tools that are accessible to all of us, I think it actually is going to become easier. It's one of the things that we're preaching to our dealers. 96% of consumers are going online before they make a purchase.
Correct, yes.
78% of them watch a video before making the next purchase of their vehicle. These are key components that we need to pay attention to, and we need to make sure we have a strategy built out for to drive that communication to the individual. You know, the car industry has always been a big industry, so it's a great one for us to be in, and we're obviously extremely passionate about it. It's what we know, we love, we breathe. But when you look at loyalty rights right now with the OEMs, it used to be your grandfather drove a Cadillac, you wanted to drive a Cadillac, your dad drove a Cadillac. You don't see that anymore. There's a huge selection set. There's different, you know, models all across the different brands. Certainly the financial components are going to be there and they're going to put you into a different category. But what's going to keep you loyal to the dealer that you bought your last car from? We believe it's through communication. And it's through how they're communicating with you. Are you communicating with them the right way? Are you emailing them and understanding their email is that important? That's the same thing really that holds true in business. You know, when you get that general manager's or the person that you're looking to close that business, you get that email address. Are you wearing it out? Are you just tossing it into Salesforce and the guy gets an email from you all the time with things that don't matter to him? Or are they specific and personalized to what that conversation was and that you know are key components that he's looking for to drive his business?
I think you have a valid point there. And one of the things that I preach when I talk is I talk about customer loyalty, also reaching out to your current customer base or existing customer base with regard to trying to nurture those relationships. And it's something that, I mean, particularly so many social media pundits out there, it's all about customer acquisition. It's not about nurturing the customer base they already have. And I think you're a strong proponent of that with some of the tools that you offer to the dealers.
Yeah.
So, but... I was going to ask, you know, both of you, Kenny, what do you see as the future for the sales industry and what's going on with regard to motivation, with regard to the whole sales training process and that moving forward?
For the salespeople, I believe it's going to, you don't need to focus now because there is so much, like John said, there are just so many different ways that you can reach somebody that you've got to have that message really quick as to exactly what you do, what you can do for them, how it's going to benefit them, because they're just getting mass emails and mass things on social media, and they'll forget about you quickly.
Well, I think we had this discussion at one of the NSA meetings one time, Kenny. It's about knowing your target audience and clearly defining that and articulating the messages that really resonate with them and honing in and personalizing that as well. I think we're going to see more of that. John, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, certainly.
Right. Now, with regard to, again, your company, the way that you're growing, I mean, you're probably taking over all the office space here in Buckhead before we know it, okay? just kidding. But
I hope technology will allow us to scale a little bit.
Yes, no, you're doing a phenomenal job with regard to the growth. What do you see as the future of your company and the industry as a whole? What are you doing?
The future's never been brighter. You know, we're super excited about all the potential that we have as an organization. Our culture is fantastic. We look to drive that more and more. It's a key component for us in how we drive our business is how happy are our associates. Are they passionate about coming to work? Are they motivated every day about driving the needle for our customers? Are they dialed into our customers and understand the key components that drive their business? Do they understand how consumers are shopping for cars and servicing their vehicles and the path to purchase and the overall attribution model from Google all the way into the showroom? Do they get that? Do they understand it? Do they know where it's headed? And are they passionate and motivated about it? And how can we as a company continue to drive that and not lose the buzz? You know, we walk through the office and you feel the buzz. I don't want to ever lose that. So we're focused on not losing that. We've got it. We've had it. Let's not lose it. But we're super excited about it. Yeah, we just took on 11,000 square feet here. We've got the ability to grow into another 11,000 square feet, which we'll probably do in the next 12 to 18 months. So we're excited.
Well, it's just a phenomenal success story. Kenny, what do you see as?
Well, we're doing fine. Like I mentioned before we get on the air, I've just picked up 5 more gigs yesterday around the country with a company that just wants to do regional sales meetings, and they want to have some activity after their dinners, after they've had their sales meeting and their dinner. They want to do some kind of activity to get people to get to know each other. So, there's plenty of business out there. And like I mentioned before, if you have a niche, you focus and you let everybody know exactly what it is that you do. To me, that's the best way to go about it. What I used to say when I was a salesperson is, you know, find the person who wants what you have. Don't try to sell them that something that they don't want or they don't need, because you're wasting your time and it's costing you too much money and too much time to do it.
Yeah.
Just hit the people. If they say that's not what we're looking for, thank you very much for your time and go off to the next one. Because there are plenty that will want what you have.
Well, guys, I hate to cut you short, but believe it or not, we're running out of time here.
Okay.
And, what I'd like to do, Kenny, could you tell us how people can get in touch with you?
Well, you can go to kennyzail.com is one of them. It's KennyZail.com is one of them. And also the other one is makingteamsrock.com. Both of those will lead you to the different kinds of activities that we can do for organizations.
Okay, great. Certainly appreciate it. John, could you tell us about how they get in touch with you?
Sure.
You're a guy, if they can pin you down.
Yeah, where, they can pin
it should be,
down,
right? Where in the world is John Fitzpatrick,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Amy, can I give out your... No, okay. No, Force Marketing is our URL, Force, F-O-R-C-E, marketing.com. I'll even give out my email address. I'm not ashamed. J-W-F-I-T-Z, J-W-Fitz, at Force... MKTG, so marketing abbreviated.com. Email me anytime. And then obviously all of our contact information by phone is on our website.
I tell you, it's been a delightful hour. I've learned an awful lot about what both of you are doing in the marketing and sales world. Just phenomenal. And certainly continuing to set the world on fire there, John, with your respective business, and Kenny in a different vein with regard to that, and helping companies set the world on fire with integrating the teams and helping them become better salespeople out there. So I really appreciate everything, and I can't wait to hear the feedback that we get from people with regard to this session and some of the things they've learned. And I want to wish you, John, from a Inc. 500, a 5,000 list,
yeah,
that hopefully before long you'll be an Inc. 500 company.
Yeah,
certainly
right.
One of the fastest growing here in
step
Atlanta.
By step.
And certainly penetration, not only here within North America, but maybe globally eventually with regard to the way that you're growing and
yeah,
some of the things that you've been able to do. I think with regard to your business, having played in the marketing and sales arena for so many years, your ability to scale the way that you have is just commendable.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for having us on. It's
very difficult to do. So without further ado, I think we've completely run out of time. Is that true, Mr. Director?
Yes, sir. You are correct, sir.
Oh, okay.
On Sir Radio.
Oh, okay.
Sales Influencer Radio.
Appreciate that very much.
I said salute you when you say Sir Radio.
Well, from the heart of Buckhead, Atlanta, section in Atlanta, the financial capital of the city, I guess you would call it.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time. This is Jeff Shand signing off from the Sales Influencers Radio Show.